Hello and welcome to the Profitable Practice Podcast with me, Andrea Maxim, naturopathic doctor turned healthpreneur. And every week I'm bringing you no nonsense, no BS, actionable strategies to create a practice that is not only profitable, but fully sustainable by you. If you're an action taker like me and want to create a practice that is profitable, then you've come to the right place. Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Profitable Practice Podcast. This is the first episode of 2019, and I hope you guys are ready for what this year has in store, what this podcast has in store, because we are just around the corner to our 100th episode, and I have some pretty amazing tricks up my sleeve. Like, one of the big things that we did at the end of last year is I have the Maximize Your Clinic program, which is an online self-study program that is available to anybody that wants to go through it. But I knew that it was meant to be easily digested, to give you all of the material, everything that you could possibly need to get your business up and growing, to establish the systems and strategies that you need. But I left out massive gaps in that program on purpose. And that was because I knew that after I had a number of people go through it, that there would be sort of like the what's next question. So at the end of last year, I created a Google form, basically like a survey questionnaire asking people, if I were to put together this type of a program, what would you think? And I also asked, how many calls would you want to have? How often would you want to have office hours? How much would you pay for this program? What other things would you want to see in it? So ultimately, 10 of our colleagues helped me put through the very first next level beta program. So the Maximize Your Clinic next level program. And we are just wrapping that up now. And I will be opening the doors to the next round of the next level program. And the reason why I'm telling all of this is because the biggest theme that came out of that first round with the beta members was just simplifying your business and creating a streamlined business where you know exactly where people are coming from when it comes to finding those new leads. You know exactly what you're going to do with them once you meet them or if they get onto your email list. And then you know exactly what you're going to do once they enter your office and how those steps are going to look and what you're going to put those people through when it comes to your lab testing, your protocols, your supplement sales even. And I found the biggest epiphanies, the biggest aha moments that came from the beta members that went through that program was this idea of simplifying your business, rinsing and repeating, and taking away the complication, because business does not need to be complicated. And I say that multiple times on today's show when we're talking to our very special guest, Zach Spuckler of the Heart, Soul, and Hustle Company Empire, if you want to put it that way. And he is all things five-figure challenges, five-day challenges that will generate you at least four to five figures. And I am a graduated member of that program and I love it. So I will let Zach do all the talking when it comes to that. But one of the things that I talked to him about towards the end of the call is how he streamlined his business. And what really brought this out in the next level program is I was seeing these big six-figure, seven-figure people going all in on one particular brand strategy, one particular program or product, or this is what they want to be known for. And the highlight, the recall that I have when somebody says, oh, I'm looking for somebody who does this, or I'm looking for somebody who would help me with that, it's just immediate these names that are popping up into my head, which is kind of coming off of Michelle Paris's podcast that we did on the last podcast and how she has basically created her brand as all around the Rebel Tribe. So she has her podcast, she has her Rebel Tribe in-office community. And now she is the person, if I wanted anybody to connect with her about building a community in their business, she is the person I think of. So as you're listening to this call, we are talking 5-day challenges, but I also want you to think about, what does the streamlining look like in your business? What is it that you are doing that you know if you went all in on this one particular stream, you would have tremendous amount of success? You're already getting the success that way anyway. And if you just changed all of your messaging to just focus on that one particular thing, how successful would your business be? And hopefully, how much easier would it be to run your business when you're just focusing on that one thing? So that is my big take-home message already happening in the first 5 minutes of this call, but I really want you to kind of like sit in the silence and think about all of the webs and the pieces of the pie that you've got going that are being just distracted, busy work, and you're not focusing on streamlining your business and making simpler for you. Now, before I jump into the interview, if you wanted to reach out or inquire about the Next Level program, I do have some highlights on Instagram at AndreaMaximND, where you can totally check out some of the trainings that we went through. And we will be closing the cart mid-February. So hopefully you get a chance to listen to this episode before then. We are going to keep it to a small number of people, and that's so I can really get to know your business. And when we have these accountability calls, when we have our training calls, when we do our office hours together, I know exactly where you left off so we can keep you moving forward. And the action that these people were taking was just like amazing. So I can only imagine what it would do for you and your business. If you wanted to have some free trainings, because I always love a free training, just getting some amazing information that I think would work beautifully with this episode, please go to maximizedbusiness.ca/program webinar. And that is all about how you can create an in-office or online program. And maybe that is what you want to stand for in 2019. But without further ado, let's jump onto the call with Zach. Hi, Zach. Thank you so much for being on the podcast today. How's it going?
It's going great. I'm super excited to be here.
Good. Now, I don't know why people wouldn't know who you are. I've been following you for the past year or two. We had I had the opportunity to actually meet you at one of James Wedmore's live events, which was a phenomenal experience for me. But for those that don't, would you mind just giving yourself or give the audience a bit of a background on you?
Sure. So my name is Zach Spuckler. My company is Heart, Soul, and Hustle, and we work with a lot of digital-based businesses to help them generate more leads, more sales, and more growth, specifically leveraging Facebook ads and 5-day challenges. And so we've been doing that for a couple of years, and we've worked with a variety of people in every imaginable niche, from dog walkers to manifestation experts to green smoothie experts. And what we found is that challenges are a really great way to connect with your audience, and in this case, potential clients or existing clients, to really show people what you're made of, give them the opportunity to kind of work with you. And a challenge might sound really vague right now. I know we're going to dive into it a little more, but basically what we've learned is that if you can work with people for about 5 days, a 5-day training or a 5-day challenge, that you can really get them to know you, your brand, your positioning, your authority, your values, and really show them the value of working with you in a deeper capacity. So you can help people for free, you can connect with people for free, and that ultimately leads to more sales and more growth in your business. And so that's what I help people do.
And that is the number one reason why I brought you on, because you are the king of all things challenges. And in the healthcare space, this is a beautiful way to start to grow your list, to, as you said, like with our healthcare system, it's not like going for a massage or getting your nails done where you can do that impulsively and walk out and you're just sort of like, that was great, fun little time right. For me. This is where we're talking about people to make massive changes, take responsibility for their health, and people might not necessarily be ready to commit to, you know, a package that you're offering or something like that. So I feel that this is a beautiful runway to get people actually into your either online space or your brick and mortar office. So I am so excited to jump into this. And I'm just going to put it out there, full disclaimer. I have gone through your program. It is to date the only program that I've actually completed from start to finish of any online course that I've done. And I think a big reason for that was because you are so good at breaking down every single step, making it very digestible. You have these amazing graphics that you include with all of your trainings. And I just followed it word for word for word and had a fantastic challenge off of that. So we'll, of course, share the links and everything like that after the show. But for people that are first starting out and they're thinking, you know, I've never run a challenge before. I hear people doing it. I don't know how much work is involved. How would you kind of warm people up to the idea and why running a challenge is so fantastic?
Yeah. So I think the biggest thing is to start by saying, like, what exactly is a challenge? So a challenge is just 5 days of content followed up by a period of kind of cart open or sales or a period of promotion. So very much like either, you know, even Walmart or Best Buy or Target has these limited time promotions. We do the same thing where we're leveraging the power of scarcity and urgency and getting people to take action on something, whether that be, you know, Target does it where you buy an iPad, you get the gift card, or it's a limited time discount, or it's a special one-time offer. So that's kind of what a challenge is. But to talk about like how we get people warmed up to the idea, what I like to tell people is, look, there, in my opinion, is no more forgiving, easy, and simple way to actually launch a product or service. And in the space that I come from, we call them launches, but you could easily call them promotions or special offers. But basically, think of where most of the trepidation comes when it comes to getting clients or patients to work with you. They don't know what to expect. There's two types of trust that they need to have: trust in themselves that they're going to make lasting changes, and trust in you as the practitioner that you're going to get them changes. They also want to know what to expect. There's, especially in the healthcare space, there's a lot of anxiety before people come into a treatment, whether it be, therapy or acupuncture or chiropractor. It doesn't matter. There's this anxiety of like, what do I expect? What's going to happen? Mm-hmm. And a challenge is the opportunity for you to work with people for 5 days to really get past a lot of those things, to, number one, put people at ease and show them exactly what's going to happen when they come into your office, to build that authority and trust in you as the practitioner, to give them the opportunity to make small, very micro level changes day to day that prove to them that they can trust themselves. And finally, it really gets them into action and moving forward. And we know that once we get people into this kind of forward action taking momentum, it's easier to get them to continue that momentum. Mm-hmm. So there's just so much power in a challenge. And I think, you know, I alluded to this, it's so forgiving because you're really building a community and an authority as the person running the challenge, where if things aren't going great, you shift gears. You've got 5 whole days. You've got a full week of providing value and content. You know, we've worked with people who run their challenge and on day 3 of 5 go, oh my gosh, I'm selling or I'm about to pitch the wrong thing.
Right.
And they change, they pivot, and they get great results. Because unlike, say, some of the other online marketing strategies that could work for an in-person or an online business where you're talking like a webinar. Well, a webinar, I love webinars. We do webinars, but you've got 90 minutes to make it count. Mm-hmm. Where with a challenge, you've got a full week to kind of pivot and change and evaluate what's happening and be responsive to the market in real time. So those are the things I would say to people who are like, is a challenge right for me? You know, I tend to think it's right for everybody, but I'm a little biased.
Just a little. But you've also seen it work for all of your students from multitude of different backgrounds as well. And so the next question that pops into my mind is, as healthcare practitioners, we typically don't like the idea of selling something. Like, we tend to want to give away all the information that we can, and then at the very end we're like, thanks, I hope you enjoyed this, have a great day, and we forget the whole purpose of why we're doing it, which is to actually get people into our offices and become clients or patients of ours. So I wanted you to just touch on the mindset of not just running a free challenge for the sake of doing busy work, Like, there's actually a reason why we're running this challenge. We are going to be prepping them and warming them up to an offer at the end, whatever that offer is. And where have you seen people kind of do it the right way versus doing it the wrong way?
Totally. So one of the things that I always tell people is, like, look, as especially as a healthcare practitioner, you have a belief in what you offer. You know that you can help people. And we tend to make this incorrect assumption, and I'm just going to be really bold and say it, that information is the answer for people. Mm-hmm. And that if we just give them enough information and give them enough education, that something's going to change. But what most of us know at a very core level, especially in this space, is that action is what creates the change, not education, right? Mm-hmm. Getting people in the door, getting them into a regimented routine is what actually leads to these lasting changes. And so I tell people, like, look, if you're not willing to sell, you have to be saying, are you willing to do your audience the disservice of not helping them? Right? Because when we really believe in our product, like, look, at the end of the day, we're a business, right? Mm-hmm. You're a business, I'm a business. When we do things, we're motivated because we want to grow our business. And we have to keep that in mind. But being a business doesn't mean that you can't be thoughtful. It doesn't mean that you can't be helpful. It doesn't mean that you can't serve your audience. And, you know, if you get 100 people in a challenge, you're not going to end up with 100 new clients, mm-hmm. right? Some people are going to take the information and that's going to be enough for them. Other people are going to want to take it to the next level. And you're really, you know, one of the, again, I'll say it again, you're doing them a disservice if you don't give them the opportunity to continue working with you, because some people are going to absolutely love what you have to offer. And if you forget to give them or choose not to give them the opportunity to continue working together, then you're doing just, again, just a huge mm-hmm. disservice to both of you. And the other thing I like to tell people when it comes to, like, a sales mindset is, look, you're not, I have a mentor who likes to say, when it comes to sales, it's something you can't control. You can't put a gun to somebody's head and say, you know, you're going to buy, yeah. right? You're just putting the offer out there and the right people are coming forward to say, this is for me. Mm-hmm. So don't withhold that because you think, well, what if people say no? Or what if people aren't interested? Or what if people think I'm too salesy? Well, those people won't buy, mm-hmm. right? But what about the people who are really interested? What about the people who want more? What about the people who are waiting for the next step? So you really need to think of it not just as selling your product, but as serving your audience. And by making that minor shift to the way you show up, it'll make a massive difference. Now, the other thing is, like, I alluded to this, but, like, you are a business. And if you like what you do and you want to stay in business, you have to generate clients. You have to get people into the door. And so just keep that in mind that, yes, we want to help. Yes, we want to serve. But you can't serve if your doors aren't open.
Mm-hmm.
And so just keep that in mind that as a business, you have to be open and willing to do the work to sell.
And the other thing that's coming to my mind just while we're on this topic is, and I wanted to ask you this question, there's that buying cycle where somebody may checkpoint with you once, go through your challenge once, they're just not ready to make those changes yet, but they're just going to simmer on it, come back to you again. So this is coming into the idea of the first time you do something, it may be a massive win, it might be an epic failure or somewhere in the middle, but it's so important to remember that you're just not capturing those people at that particular time when they're ready to buy. So I just wondered if in your history, how many times have you had people go through a challenge with you and then they've gone through maybe 3 or 4 before they actually convert into a paying customer versus just cold off the hop, and then they buy?
The majority of what we see tends to be people who have experienced us in some way, shape, or form before tend to be buyers. Now, we do marketing. We absolutely attract cold audience. We convert cold audiences. But it's easiest and most effective to convert a warm audience. And what really, really trips people up is they're like, well, I don't have a warm audience, right? Or I'm just getting started. Or, yes. or everybody's cold to me the first time around. And what I tell people is, like, yeah, that's how you start, right? So if you can get 100 people in challenge today, they are the 100 people that are going to be interested in your product tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So you really have to be keeping in mind the long game. Like it's funny, maybe not funny, but it's interesting how often somebody comes to us and is like, I've been following you for a year and now I'm interested in your product. Or, I just got a really high level, one-on-one client. In the work that I do, we do mostly one-to-many, but I take a handful of one-on-one clients. And they were like, well, I listened to you on this podcast. I implemented everything you had. I got results and now I'm ready to work with you. But that person became a really high level client without ever investing anything else. But they were warm to me. They knew about my services. They knew about my products and they were excited to work together because they were familiar with all of my content. Not because I ran a Facebook ad and found them cold, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not to say that that strategy doesn't work, and it's absolutely something we recommend. But just remember that today's, you know, looky-loo is tomorrow's purchaser. And so you have to be thinking about the long game, right? It's not a one-and-done system. The most successful people we see in our course are students who run challenge after challenge after challenge and continue to scale and grow.
And how often would people repeat the exact same challenge? Because this is a topic we're going to go into later, but the first thought we have is, well, I can't run the same challenge again. People have already seen it. They've already done it. I have to create something totally brand spanking new, create everything all over again and waste so much time. So what are you seeing about that recycling of the challenge?
Yeah, you can. So here's what I tell people. Sometimes we get really caught up in this mindset of like you said, like I need to create new content or it has to be new. It has to be fresh. And the reality is you can 100% run the same challenge again as long as you can get new people in the door, because it's not old to the new people. And to the old people that say, well, I've seen this before, the interested people that are like, oh, maybe it didn't work last time, they're going to sign up again and try again. Those new buyers might want to go through that same process again, right? What we tend to see is that when you start a challenge on day one, you know, you've got this massive participation and then it starts to taper off, and that's normal. Mm-hmm. And we can talk about that, but it's normal to see a decline in participation. So, you know, maybe you started with 80% participation and by day five, you're down to 20%. Well, what about that other 80% that didn't make it to day five? They want the opportunity to start over. There's a psychology to the fact that we like want to start the diet on Monday, right?
Yeah.
A lot of people want to start over. They want to try again. They want to give it another shot. So don't get so caught up in thinking, I need to do something new. We ran the same challenge for, gosh, two years, and people still rave about it and love it. And we're thinking about running it again because it works and it converts. And so like, that's what I just can't stress, is if it's working and converting, don't go reinvent the wheel. Optimize what you have, attract new people into the fold, and continue to engage with your warm audience.
Yes. All of those things. I hope you guys replay a lot of what we've been talking about already, because it needs to be like cemented into your brain that entrepreneurship and running a business does not need to be complicated. It does not need to be 100 hours of labor. Often that just ends up being busy work, and it's just unnecessary busy work. Before we jump into talking about just kind of streamlining your business, which we will, and definitely talking about how the participation levels can change, if somebody just wanted to, okay, say they're like, yes, I know I need to do a challenge. I know I want to do a challenge. What is kind of like the basic framework that somebody could start to do?
Yeah, so the basic framework of a challenge is 5 days of content with email marketing, a Facebook live stream, and a Facebook group, okay? So every day you want to send people some sort of mini assignment or action step or education that they can use. And then you want to supplement that with a daily live stream on Facebook Live. And then you want to drive them into a private Facebook group where they can act, engage, take action, and share that they're getting results with what you've been teaching them. So those are like really the key elements that you need to have a challenge. Now, what I would argue is even more important than getting the structure right or the days right or the emails right is getting the promise right. And we, inside my program, we really talk about the value of having a promise. And a lot of people want to do like, you know, the 5-day health challenge or the 5-day weight loss challenge. And while that's all good and well, it doesn't tell people what they're going to create. See, people don't people don't crave a challenge, right? Generally speaking.
Or change.
Right. Yeah. They're not like, oh, I really need to change my life, right? Yeah. Or they do, but they're like, I want to lose weight and I want to, because I want XYZ, right? Mm-hmm. Even people who say, I want to lose weight, they don't want to lose weight. They want to be more confident. They want to mm-hmm. like what they see in the mirror. They want to be a size zero. They want the end game. They don't want the work. They don't yeah. want the change. Okay. So what you have to understand is that you need to make a promise of some kind. And what we mean by that is, what are you telling people they'll create as a result of going through the process? Okay. So if you're going to do a challenge on, let's say, weight loss, I wouldn't call it a weight loss challenge. I would call it drop a jean size in 5 days, right? Most people can actually do that, especially if you haven't done weight loss before, if you haven't been eating healthy. Generally speaking, the first week you go to lose weight, you drop a bunch of water weight. Some people lose a size and it works, right? And a lot of people get caught up because they're like, well, I can't guarantee that to everybody, or I can't promise that to everybody. But for the average person going through your challenge, taking all the steps and doing all the work, what's something you can reasonably offer them? And if you start there, then you're no longer running a 5-day challenge. You're creating an experience.
Mm-hmm. And this is a very important step as well, because when I talk with my coaching clients, they say, well, day one is going to be about drinking water. Day two is going to be about exercising. Day three is going to be about X, Y, or Z. And it's so fragmented. So what mm-hmm. you're really talking about here is not only creating a very specific outcome, but when you're going through the 5-day challenge, those days should be adding on top of each other so that that outcome yes. is more realistic to happen.
Yeah, we like to say compounding but standalone. So basically they should be able to take action on whatever day they show up. Maybe they miss day two or they miss day four. They should still be able to do whatever you're having them do, but it should compound and create ongoing results.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. So that's very important for everybody to hear is, I find most people just want to give out as much information as they can. And the day, yeah. like day one, is just packed with like 5 different changes. And then on top of that, day two is packed with another 5 changes. And that's not really the point of this, is we want these people to every day feel like they're having a one quick win that's very like possible, so that by the end, that down a jean size or down an inch or whatever the results are is easily attainable. And I would also stress that they have to be changes that people could logistically make essentially in a 24-hour period. So if you want someone yes. to do like a massive kitchen clean out and then find all the 20 different ingredients from 5 different grocery stores, like that's also not going to be very successful.
Right.
So just be very, like, it actually is more simple than I think we make it out to be. Now, the Facebook Lives, a lot of people are going to be like, shit, like, I am not going on camera. I'm so, when would I schedule that in? I'm so afraid. What if nobody shows up to my lives? What do you say around that? Because video is just like, it's like public speaking to people. They'd rather die than do it sometimes.
Yeah. You know, what I tell people is, number one, live video is very forgiving. We tend to think that people are going to be hypercritical and be like, oh my gosh, this is whatever. But when you're doing a live video, people don't expect it to be perfect, right? Like, this is a pre-recorded podcast, so there's some level of expectation that it's going to be like good, right? Because we pre-recorded it and we showed up and we prepared. But when you go on a live video, there's this expectation that people have that like, you're just showing up, mm-hmm. right? You're showing up where you are naturally. I call it like forced authenticity, because you can't fake it on camera. You can't fake it for very long on mm-hmm. camera. And so there's a much lower expectation that you like need to be perfect or polished, right? So that's the first thing. The second thing is like, look, yes, it's intimidating. Yes, it's scary, but you when you do it, you get results. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's what we're after. All of us are after results. And so we have seen it time and time again where people are like, I don't know if I want to go live. I don't know if I want to go live. They do it. It's not the prettiest. It's not the best, but it works mm-hmm. and it converts. And so if you're all about helping your clients and you're all about serving them to the highest of your ability, then you have to be willing to kind of put yourself out there and show up. Now, all that being said, can you do pre-recorded video? You can. But I'm going to argue that live video is just so much better because it builds that trust, it builds that connection, and it gives you the opportunity to like hang out with your people, answer questions, and show them that you're not this unreachable, ethereal being. You're a person who wants to connect with them just as much as they want to connect with you.
And let's talk about keeping up the momentum then throughout the challenge and not feeling defeated if that drop off starts to happen. So what do you do around that part?
Yeah. So the biggest thing is keep engaging with your community. So you build a Facebook community or a group as part of the challenge process. Continue to engage with them. Ask them questions. Encourage them to do the post. Check in with them. Tag people who have been active that maybe got quiet, right? Be willing to do the work. Like when we do a challenge, I actually block out 2 to 3 hours of my day because when we do a challenge, our goal is to get like 3,000 to 5,000 people registered. Mm-hmm. We did not start there. Our first challenge did not have 3,000 to 5,000 people, but that's our goal. And so when we actually go through the challenge, I carve out 2 to 3 hours of my day to literally go through and just comment and engage with everybody I possibly can. Mm-hmm. And so that really keeps the momentum going. And you know, the thing is like, is it work? Yes. Does it take extra time? Yes. Are most people willing to do it? No. And that's where the magic is because most people aren't willing to do it.
And then one of the thoughts that I think people are probably thinking as well and maybe having resistance around doing a challenge is, well, somebody else is already doing it. Somebody else is already doing, and I know you get this all the time, but someone else is already doing a gluten-free challenge. Somebody else is already doing a weight loss challenge. Who's going to follow me and how am I going to be successful?
Yeah. You know, just to be like a little cheeky, like Weight Watchers didn't stop Jillian Michaels from having a career, right? So there's plenty of space for everybody. And if you believe in your product and you believe in what you can offer, then you should absolutely get out there and do it because, you know, there's so many different schools of thought. There's like community over competition. There's collaboration over competition. There's people who say like, just be the best and you don't have to worry about it. But I think no matter what you subscribe to as a school of thought, there is so much evidence out there that just because it exists doesn't mean other people can't do it. And, you know, if you walk into Walmart and you go down the container aisle, like Rubbermaid is not stopping Tupperware, is not stopping Mainstay, is not stop, like there's so many different brands. And yet they're all coexisting. So mm-hmm. I would say like, don't stress yourself out thinking that you can't do it just because somebody else is doing it. In your space, whether that is an influence of 100, 1,000, 10,000, 100,000, and that's all you have to worry about.
Perfect. Now, I'm gonna jump into sort of like business strategy. So before we close the whole five-figure launch part up, what is your program and how can people find it?
Yeah, definitely. So our program is called the Five-Figure Challenge, where we basically walk people through the entire process of how to map. Well, it's four phases. We call it learn it, build it, fill it, sell it. And we teach you the system in the learn it phase. We help you build it together. We go through every step of the process, what pages you need, what content you need. Then we teach you how to actually fill it up with people who are your qualified primary people you want to have in the challenge. And then we teach you how to effectively sell your products and services. So if you want to learn more about it, we have a free class that you can check out. And then at the end, we offer the paid program. So don't be shocked if we do that. But it's heartsoulhustle.com/challenge class. It's an on-demand training. You can sign up for a time that works for you. And basically what we do is we walk you through the four-part framework that we teach inside the paid program. And then we give you the opportunity to join if you want to learn more. So if you want to check that out, it's heartsoulhustle.com/challenge class. And you can absolutely check that out, get all the details and learn more about our challenge process.
And we will put those links in the show notes, I promise. So we're going to take a bit of a pivot here because this is something that in my next level program that I do with my students, this became a big, like, ongoing talk that we had, ongoing conversation about simplifying your business. And this was a big shift that you took at the end of last year, at the end of 2018, which I noticeably saw. I was a member of your monthly membership playbook. And you just said, you know what, I'm shutting everything else down in my life and I'm only focusing on this one program. Like, that's just what I need to do for 2019. And the first thing that, when I read that, that came to my mind was just ultimate relief for you. Like, I felt just making that statement, and this goes for anybody in their business, making that statement, it takes a massive weight off your shoulders because you don't feel so pressured to promote this program and that program and do this service and that service. And you just say, look, like, I am only focusing on this one thing. I'm going to be known for this one thing. All of my marketing, my branding is going to be promoting this one thing. And just watch it just skyrocket over the course of the year. Like, that's, of course, what I believe would happen. I don't even say let's hope that that happens. That is what will happen.
Yeah.
So I wanted to just kind of go through how that decision came to be, what your life was like, what your business was like prior to that, because this is something anybody who's listening right now, I bet you have made your business way more complicated than it needs to be. And I have my students map out all of the blocks, meaning all the pieces that are running in their business. And I say, okay, streamline it so that it's down to like 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 steps max that you'd want your ideal patient or client to go through. And that's hard for people to be like, well, what if we do this? What if we do that? I say, look, like, you're just gonna have to focus on one thing. And the relief that they get from doing that exercise is massive. So sorry to ramble on a little bit, but I'd love to hear kind of your journey through the end of last year.
Yeah, so it was really fascinating. And we ended up doing a whole podcast about it because so many people were like, why would you shut your membership down? We had a relatively successful membership. It had done about $83,000 in sales over the course of the 13 months we had it open. So about 80K a year membership, and it was going well. We had very low overhead. We were spending, like, you know, just to give you a frame of reference, somewhere around like $500 to $800 a month to get everything produced and created. So high profit, high return. But the truth was, it was not exciting to me.
Mm-hmm.
It had me feeling like I was on this hamster wheel of like creating content, and I loved my community. And I think this was the biggest thing, was like, I had this fear that my community would be like, oh my gosh, like, he must not like us anymore. And I love my community. I love my groups and I love showing up for people. But it all just felt really heavy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I met with, one of my mentors, and if you don't have a mentor, highly recommend that you get one, whether it be through an online course or a membership, or you hire somebody directly. But I basically was like, what do I do? And he said, you know, if it's not bringing you joy, you probably shouldn't be doing it. Mm-hmm. And so I just had a real look at my year, and you know, we did stuff the previous year that was a revenue generator, but wasn't a happiness generator. And we basically said, what are we doing to really streamline the business? And what is it costing us? And when we looked at the year, we basically realized, like, we've been scattered. Like, one month we were promoting this, and one month we were promoting that, and one month we were doing this. And we stepped back and we were like, what is that really doing for us? It's not creating a streamlined process. It's not building the business strategically. It's really just pulling us a million different directions. And so we closed down our membership, we closed down our mastermind, we closed down our Facebook ads program, closed something else. We actually used to have a Facebook bots program that we don't even promote anymore. We kind of stopped promoting it mid-year. We just closed down everything except for the five-figure challenge. And I will be honest, we did kind of open a little side agency for Facebook ads because that's something that I've always wanted to explore. Mm-hmm. And by taking all this stuff on my plate, I have the space to do it. But really, in terms of like the front-facing business, we really just have the five-figure challenge course. And so, anytime I do something, whether it's create content or go on a live stream or do a podcast, I know what I'm going to talk about. I know what I'm going to promote. I'm not like, oh, what are we doing right now? What do I need to talk about? I know I can talk about challenges. I know I can just show up and deliver lots of value around challenges, and I can continue to drive people into our systems that we have in place to sell that product. So what it's really done for me is it's created a lot of space to breathe. It's created a lot of space to explore, and it's created a lot of space to focus and make things bigger. And I think that's the biggest thing that I knew, because I'd done it in my business in the past, is that if you do these little one-off promotions, like, oh, I'm going to promote this 1 month, and then I'm going to promote that 1 month, and then I'm going to promote this 1 month, what happens is you max out. Mm-hmm. And you kind of hit this ceiling, and you just continue to hit that ceiling, where if instead of doing these three itty bitty promotions every, you know, 3 weeks, if you'd have just put 9 weeks into promoting one big thing and actually showed up fully for that, then you would have gotten better results to begin with. And so we actually had a year in my business where I was doing these little one-off promotions. It was the first time we hit a six-figure year revenue-wise, which was super exciting. But we were like, we're tired. We hit all mm-hmm. these ceilings. And then the next year, we 3X'd the business because we stopped doing that. And we focused on doing one big promotion every few months. And then for whatever reason, we backslid, lesson learned, and we started doing too many things at once. And so now we're coming back to a place where it's like, look, we're focusing in on one thing. We're giving it our all on this one thing. And when this one thing is at a level where it's automated and optimized and it doesn't require a lot of handholding or time from me, then we can start looking at alternate options and other offers.
And how do you maintain that discipline to not get persuaded by the shiny object? Like, looking at your face right now, you're like, I know, man.
It's
because
hard.
It's one thing to say it and then to actually like do it. Totally different.
It's really, really hard. And I think the biggest thing to tell people is like, I'm not perfect. And like one of the shiniest objects, this is just like a little personal anecdote. One of the shiniest objects to me is e-commerce. I just have this morbid fascination with e-commerce, like selling physical products online. And I find myself constantly like, I spent a few $100s, which was silly, at the end of last year buying courses, because I was like, maybe I'll start an e-commerce brand. And I started doing it. And just a few days ago, I like was like, this is silly, because my word for the year is focus. This is not a focused activity. And I basically shut everything down, canceled everything. I still have the courses, which I can go through at a later time if that serves me. But the biggest thing I realized was like, look, you have to just do these periodic check-ins where you're like, am I actually being focused, mm-hmm. or am I being scattered? And am I actually doing what I said I was going to do, or am I a little out of integrity here? And the reality was I was out of integrity, because I said I was going to be focused. I said I was going to focus on one thing at a time. And like I said, full disclosure, we're focusing on two things, but you know, neither one of those things was e-commerce. And so I had to like have a real conversation with myself where I was like, this is great, this is fun, this is an escape, but this is not what I said I was going to do. So it's time for me to step back and step away from that.
And any other either resources or mindset or even just a quote that you would like to leave with our audience today before we start wrapping up, just to be like, running a business is friggin' hard. It's not meant to be like complicated. It's meant to be simple, but it does require a certain amount of grit. And I think delegation is a huge part, which is a whole nother topic in and of itself. But anything that you really like really helps you stay back in frame, keeps you positive, keeps you going, makes it all worth it for you.
Yeah, that's a tough one. No pressure, right?
Very big question.
Yeah, no pressure. You know, one of the biggest things I will just leave you with is like to stop grasping at the small straws when you can build up the big straw. And what I mean by that is, look, if we're, and then I've done it, is like, we're like, well, I'll just get three clients really quick this month, or I'll just, my goal is just to get a couple more people this month and a couple more people that month. But what if instead of playing small, you played big and you're like, I'm actually just going to go for 20 clients in the next 3 months, and I'm going to completely dedicate my focus to that. And everything that's not serving that bigger vision is secondary. So one of the I'll leave you with a principle, which is the 80-20 principle, which I'm sure you've talked about before on the show, or I'm sure people are familiar with. But basically, 80% of the results come from 20% of the work. And it's actually like where I think people even miss out is that the reality is 80% of that 20% comes from 20% of that 20%. So really, about 95% of your results come from 5% of what you do. I think that's the math on it. Mm-hmm. Don't double check that on me. But basically, you know, there is a small sector or a small section of activities that you can be doing that really build the business. And that's what you should be focusing on. And if you decide that that's challenges, then go all in and run a challenge and give a challenge everything that you've got. Don't run a challenge while you're secretly like, oh, I have a backup webinar planned for next week in case it doesn't go well. And then I've also got this email sequence that I'm working on. And then I've also got this, like, give it your all, because I have one of the things that I love hearing from my mentor is, he's like, you never fail. You either learn or you succeed. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's just so key. So those two things is like this 80-20 principle of like, focus on what works and really give it your all and realize if it flops, it's not the end of the world. You learn how to adjust for next time so that the next time you give it your all, it's only going to be better. Mm-hmm. So that was a lot of stuff.
Yeah, that was a big loaded question though. So you answered that perfectly. Now, if people want to reach out to you, get in touch with you, would you mind sharing us your social media handles, website, podcast, and Absolutely. Remind us again of the course?
Absolutely. So the best place to find me is where we're trying to grow is Instagram. I'm at Heart Soul Hustle on Instagram. You can connect with me there. If you've got questions about the episode or you just want to tell me what you thought, you can drop me a DM. Always appreciate a good DM on my Instagram. You can find me at heartsoulhustle.com, where we've got links all over the place for that free challenge class. But also, if you are big on like ear candy, you can check out the Heart, Soul, and Hustle podcast, where we talk about marketing, strategy, launches that we use in our online business to generate more leads, sales, and growth. And it's called the Heart, Soul, and Hustle podcast. So you can check that out as well.
I'm laughing since you said ear candy. I've never heard ear candy before in my entire life. But anyways,
I just came up with it.
Yeah. But we will have all those links in the show notes. Thank you again so much, Zach, for being on the Profitable Practice podcast today.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, there you have it, folks. Another phenomenal episode on the books for the Profitable Practice podcast. If you have any questions about how should I be running my challenge? What should I do? What tech do I need to do? How complicated does it need to get? That is my wheelhouse. So please reach out to me on Instagram. Send me a DM, just like Zach says, at Andrea Maxim ND, and I will try to answer all of my questions to the best of my ability. And as I mentioned at the very beginning, if you would like to learn more about how to create an in-office or online program that could be your upsell after the 5-day challenge, please go to maximizebusiness.ca/program webinar and watch that hour-long free training on how you can really create something that maybe will help to streamline your business, like we already talked about. If you are interested in joining the Next Level program, reach out to me soon, because we are going to be opening and closing that very, very shortly. Mid-February is when we are going to be closing the next round of beta members. It's only going to be 10 people, so you want to get in on the ground floor if you can. And of course, any other help that I can offer you, if you loved this episode, let me know as well, because I want to make sure that this podcast is serving all of your needs, and I cannot wait to see what the rest of this year brings. But if you have topic ideas, questions for me that I can put into a show, that makes it all so much better as opposed to me just creating topics on the fly. I love engaging with you guys as much as I can. So hit me up at Andrea Maxim ND on Instagram or find me on Facebook and we will make that happen. I'm of course your host, Andrea Maxim, always here for you. I love you guys and I'm out. You guys are killer. Thank you as always for listening to the Profitable Practice podcast. Leave me a comment, and if you haven't already, I would love a review in iTunes. Definitely subscribe to this podcast and leave me a quick review. For those ready to maximize your practice, contact me at www.maximizedbusiness.ca.